Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I want to welcome back my friends from Yamaha Musical Instruments. They were on a couple of months ago with the electric guitars. Today we're going to talk about the acoustic guitars. And my good friend Andy Winston's here. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Jeff. I appreciate it, buddy.
And a new person from Yamaha, David Chavez. Hopefully he'll be coming back much more often.
Thank you. Thanks.
And also, too, I want to thank right up front, Ronan is on manning the board because I'm in the hot seat with these guys. We're going to be trying out a bunch of interesting guitars. And one of the things, if you saw the post that I had up, there was two pictures that I had posted besides with Andy's picture. One of them was me in 1974 playing my Yamaha FG-180. And I think I got it around 1970, so I've had it for almost about 47 years. And I've used it for numerous sessions, all sorts of gigs, playing at the beach in high school. Everything. I've used this guitar, and it's weathered really well, and it plays really great. And a week before, I went over to the Yamaha. There's a Yamaha facility here in Burbank where Pat Campolitano works on the custom. He's in the custom shop, and he went through the guitar and fixed it for me, and I'll be posting some pictures for that. And he did a super job. And it looks like it's brand new. So it's, like, interesting to see the two guitars. But we have here today the 50th anniversary model of the FG-180. So I want to welcome both David and Andy to the show. Welcome.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Well, let's start right now real quick with the FG-180s, because you got a bunch of stuff. We have a lot to cover tonight. Tell us a little bit about this guitar, and then I'll play mine, and we'll compare the two and see how they sound.
Yeah, certainly. As some people know, Yamaha has been the FG. It's actually the 50th year anniversary of the FG. And so kind of in celebration of that, this year at January's NAMM, we introduced the FG-180 50th anniversary model. So basically it's kind of an homage to what you have there sitting next to it. In 1966, it's when Yamaha started building the guitars, and in about 1969 is when they began importing them to the United States. So as you can see there, you know, there are a lot of similarities from what you have to what we've recreated for the anniversary.
Now, was Yamaha... did they make guitars before 1966 that we never saw, or is that the first guitar they made?
There were various instruments before that, but in terms of a production guitar, I believe that came to the United States.
That was the first one to come over here. It was the 180? Yeah. There was no other. I don't remember.
That's correct.
I don't remember any other model at that time.
There were models after that, but not before.
That's correct. So now the original one, my guitar has a solid spruce top, and it has laminate mahogany back and sides, and the new one's all solid wood all the way around.
That's correct. Yeah, the new one was spec'd with a solid Sitka spruce top that is ARE treated. Some people may know what ARE stands for. In Yamaha's history, Yamaha's been, you know, always kind of looking at advancements of making instruments more and more playable, of course, better sounding. And the ARE treatment is a proprietary treatment that Yamaha has created to basically, they use humidity and to basically help mature the wood. So,
right.
so that what you get in the end, the easiest way to say it is basically, so the experience and the playability and the sound that you're getting is very similar to a mature vintage instrument that has a lot of warmth, a lot of maturity to the sound, right?
So yeah, so it kind of breaks it in, so to speak.
Yeah, molecularly it changes the molecules within the wood,
right?
Which then makes it react more similar to a vintage instrument would sound.
Well, that's a problem now for somebody of my age. For me to buy a new guitar and break it in as much as I broke in this guitar, I'll be dead because it would be another 40 years. I don't know if I'd be well over 100.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it does make a difference. Here's the guitar. I'll pull out mine first and just play a little bit of this. So this has been broken in by just playing a lot. So I'm going to finger pick first. Okay, so you get an idea of the sound. And it's like, okay, I'll play something. You can hear the inner voices. Here's with a pick. So, and it's got a nice sound, but now, again, I've broken this in. Okay, now I'm going to take the 50th anniversary and bring it. Now, one thing that is, there is one difference. I tried to match them as best I can, but I use a lighter gauge. So I have 10s on mine. These are 12, so it'll be a little darker because of that. But pretty much it's... finger picking. It's pretty, it's got that mature sound. It's got some interesting overtones too.
So one of the things that we're finding out is a lot of the Yamaha guitars from the past are standing up well to the test of time, like your guitar, for instance, to where it might be 40 or 45 years old, but the top is not lifting, the neck doesn't need to be reset. So that was kind of the inspiration to reissue this guitar again. All solid wood, like David said, from top to bottom, comes with a hard shell case. We age treat the top. $899, I think, is the street price with the hard shell case, and limited numbers, too. So if you can find one, buy one.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, my FG-180 was like $199 back in the day. Now, that probably translates pretty well to the price that you're offering now with inflation.
Probably close, yeah.
But it was, I mean, the way I looked at it back then, because I was really, I was into Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and I was really into Martins. It was a poor man's D-18, and it worked. But what I was saying before on the show, we were talking about a little bit before, it has a really nice neutral sound. And a lot of times in sessions, I was called on to do doubling. And this guitar really blends well with any other guitar that I've used. And, whether it was mine whether it was a Martin or at sessions I borrowed Gibsons and stuff, it blended well with almost anything, and it just gave a really nice fuller sound.
What I like about this guitar too, Jeff, is I think we give you the mid-range that other companies want to take away from you.
Yeah.
If you listen to our guitars, everything is balanced across all six strings. It doesn't dip mm-hmm. in the center. It doesn't get overly sparkly or doesn't get too bottom heavy. Mm-hmm. Everything has a nice balance to it. Yeah. I think that's what makes this guitar work so well.
So how many guitars are you going to make of this model? Is there a finite amount, or are they going to just make it for like so many years? Or
for the U.S., there was 180.
Wow, that little?
Well, once again, it's to
180 for 180.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had, from what I recall, I mean, there was a really, really great response. And as Andy was saying, if you can find one, most, I mean, they have gone pretty fast.
Yeah.
The retailers did, they were very excited about it when they saw it. And, of course, there you have it. So now we're already 8 months into the year, so
yeah,
you'll probably be able to find one or two here or there. But it's really amazing, I think, how many artists and how many people we've come across, just like you, Jeff, that have actually either started on a 180 or still have the 180 that they had. One of Carl, our clinicians, he grew up with a 180 as well, and he was like, wow. So it was really a guitar that made an impact to a lot of people back, you know, when we started importing guitars to America. So
yeah, no, it really had a good sound, and I was able to, I mean, as I was younger and I was learning a lot of stuff, I did know that it sounded good, and it worked well. I mean, again, I have had it for over 40 years, and a lot of that was session work. And even the engineers were kind of surprised. They never, you know, they would have, where'd you get this? This is a great guitar. So, but it made a difference. It really was. And it plays well. The neck's good. One of the things I want to mention is my neck has more of a V shape. The other one's more of a rounded shape, like more of the contemporary guitars. So actually, the new one's a little faster, in my opinion. I mean, I'm used to the V neck because I played it for so many years, but I like this new neck on it.
Good.
It's really, really, really nice.
If I were to say what it feels like, it reminds me of, it feels similar to like an old like 59 Les Paul, where there's a, you know, a nice even C shape that's really comfortable.
Yeah, it's a C shape. That would be the best way to describe it.
Exactly.
This was more of a V. You noticed it more. My friend had, we were talking about this, he had one of the 12 strings, which had more of that V neck. It was more of that. But it plays great. And it just, I mean, it's funny. The soundboard is the way they've aged it and stuff. It's actually a little darker than even mine. And mine's got just piles of lemon wax. I always waxed it. So it's yellowed from that, but it's pretty amazing. This is a great guitar. I really love it.
And I love the fact how we got the appointments right. So if you look at the headstock logo, if you look at the tuning keys, if you look at the truss rod cover, they're straight out of that era of Yamaha guitar building.
Yeah, those are the original. Those are like the original keys I had.
Yep.
Yeah,
now, I changed mine
later
on and put the Grovers because I liked the higher ratio to tune it a little better. But the that was the only one, the only mod I did. And the only other thing is I put pins in that have pearl inlay on the bottom. That's because I'm vain.
You know what's a quick question, because I didn't really look closely at yours, but does yours have the red label on the inside as well?
Yeah.
It does. Okay.
It's set, but it doesn't say.
See it.
Here, I'll hand it over to you guys.
I just wanted to take it. Yeah, sure. No, looks great. You don't have to hand it. That's great. There it is.
And on the heel of, in the back inside of the neck is the serial number, which I'm going to have check. I got to check and find out what year it was, because maybe it was earlier. I might, if I'm lucky. But it, again, I never had any real problems with the guitar. And when Pat looked at it, he said it was really good shape, considering that I played so much and I tried a lot of different strings. And the fret wear is, it's worn a little bit, but it's not really bad. So
amazing.
And he just did an amazing job cleaning it up, too.
And if you want to have a good time, go on eBay and look up Yamaha Red Label. And you'll see a lot of these guitars from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, that are standing the test of time, that are aging well.
So Red Label will give you
that. You'll get all of that, the Nippon Gaki era stuff, just like your guitar is.
Right. Yeah.
One quick question, Andy. The artist that we picked this one up from, does he have a 180 as well?
He has a 180 as well.
He does.
I don't know if we can necessarily talk about it because it's not a signed artist and he's not part of the Yamaha family yet.
Right.
But a very big engineer producer who is big in the alternative world has been gushing about his FG-180.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And so he, right.
And if we can talk about it, we would, but I could talk about it, but I deny everything.
Well, I'm not a signed DJ, but I love this guitar, and I've really, I'm just super happy. It's part of my history. So, but let's get into something now. You brought some other really cool guitars.
So what we wanted to kind of move on to next is for this year, for the 2016 year, is we actually changed our staple acoustic guitar. For the last generation, FG-700 was the staple guitar, right? That was, we sold thousands and thousands of them, retailing for a whopping $199. But this year, what we did is we went to an 800 series instrument. The biggest differences are now on the interior, we have scallop bracing under the top, right? We'll play these guitars. I've got the dreadnought size and then the little concert body. We slimmed down the neck a little bit. We actually started rounding our fret edges over to get a little more of a pleasurable playing experience. But now with the scallop bracing on the inside, the 800 series guitar is a bit of a cannon. It has better sparkle, has a little bit richer low end than maybe the 700 series did before. On the FS series, what we've done is we've actually done the same scallop bracing, neck shaving, and rounded fret edges. But what we did, and I'll kind of grab this one and hold it, is we actually gave it a nice taper from the bass side, or from the bass bout to the
right.
to the front bout. That was one thing that we never had happen, was it was always the width of the back body bout, which made it a great guitar sound-wise, but kind of very uncomfortable to play. So we felt by making a taper from that bass heavy side to the upper bout, is that we've got a far more comfortable guitar to play. And then with the addition of that scallop bracing, is now we've got a guitar that is loud or projects even more than the deeper body FS-700 of previous years.
So the shallower part of the body near the neck or the heel and going to a deeper, what does that do for sound? Does that make, I mean, because technically it's smaller than like my FG-180, which is like a box, so to speak. Yeah.
So sound-wise, not so much. It's not going to do anything. What we did to balance that out is going to the scallop bracing on it. And that's out of a little concert body guitar, and that's a pretty big... That's a bit rich tone for a smaller body instrument. So by going to the little shallower upper bout, but giving the scallop bracing here on the top, is I don't lose any projection. In fact, I might even gain a little bit. But the benefit for the customer is shallower, much more comfortable to hold and play.
Right.
It wants to sit closer to the body rather than sitting farther out as previous models did.
Yeah, and notice too when he's playing it how the overtones on these guitars are just amazing, and they're clear. They have a nice overall sound, and depending on the type of strings that you're using, you can get a really beautiful sound, but enough timbre to it, because the guitar has the high frequency response to get that. Now let me ask you guys a question, because I remember a couple of years ago I was over there at NAMM with you guys with Scott from the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts, and what's the difference in approach or whatever? I remember you guys came out with the L series of them, correct? Which was a beautiful killer guitar. I mean, just great stuff. What's the difference in terms of I know there's a difference in price because they're handmade, if I'm correct, and there's the certain selection of woods and stuff, but can you kind of describe what's happening there?
Some of the main differences between the two are obviously the bracing, right? We have more of a modern non-scallop bracing that is used in the L series, which gives it its real bright, right, kind of qualities, tight bass, and of course it's, kind of more of what it is known for. The other appointment would be more appointment-oriented, right? You're going to get more ornate type of features on the
binding
guitar,
and inlay, that
exactly.
kind of stuff.
Right.
Exactly, as well as the woods that are selected for those particular models of instruments. So what you're getting is just more of everything, right? As well as ARE is something that comes standard on those models as well. So,
oh, this is an ARE?
No,
this is not ARE.
It's pretty amazing for an ARE.
So when you're looking at something in this price point, you know, at $199, as Andy was saying, both the FG and FS are at $199.
And is that solid wood or laminate? I mean, I know this top's solid spruce, but are the back and sides?
Yeah, this is a solid spruce top and then NATO back and sides on this guitar, NATO, which is an Asian mahogany.
Yeah.
Right.
But you get this richer...
$200? That's recordable.
And this is our $199 guitar. It's almost made too well. It lasts too long. It sounds too good. But that's the kind of thing is we can put this sort of hand in the entry-level player or for that first player's first acoustic guitar. And like with your guitar, I always say, this guitar lasts a generation. Your children will play their first chords on your brand new guitar.
Yeah.
So that's that thing about the quality.
Well, the other thing, too, yes, it's great that it's you know, it's good for a beginner and it's reasonable. But as a studio player, when you need an extra guitar, that's not that expensive to use as a second guitar for doubling. Or a guitar like this with the smaller body is perfect for the Nashville tuning. So yeah, and it's got the high end. So, I mean, it would be a functional guitar and you don't have to break the bank, you know, to get a second guitar. It's a great part of your arsenal.
Another really comfortable aspect about the FG and the FS are the fact that the backs of the necks are satin, right? So
yeah,
they're extremely comfortable to play. You're not going to get that
sticky. They're not goopy. They don't have that high gloss sheen to it.
Right.
But still, again, they are lacquered. They are sealed. They're impervious to kind of moisture and stuff, but they're not going to get that sticky, goopy sort of feeling.
Yeah. I'm used to the... Mine's lacquered, but I always buffed it out with the lemon wax, so it was always pretty fast.
Jeff, pick up that FG-800 bottom back to your left there and give us a song about your feelings.
Now, this is this is the Dreadnought one, right?
Yeah, so that's the same series as the concert body I'm holding, but you have the Dreadnought body.
Oh, wow, listen to that. The timbre of it is just really... I mean, it's got a great sound. This is $200?
$200, and that's a brand new guitar out of the box.
Yeah, it is.
So as we know, the guitars age and they kind of get character over the course of time, hence looking at your 40-year-old 180, Jeff, is that we know that this might be the worst this guitar ever sounds. Right? It's going to sound better after a year, after 5 years, after 10 years of playing.
But that the overtones are just, I mean, they're right there.
Another really great thing about our instruments is, you know, Yamaha's been known for the original L block that we use for the neck joint. And so that's been known to, you know, I guess a faster transfer of like string vibrations and enhance the stability of the neck to the body. But that's something that we've been doing for probably as long as the FG has been around. So,
no, it's light. I can feel it in my chest when I'm playing. I can feel the resonance.
Yeah.
Always end on a sensitive chord. Always end on a sensitive chord.
Bravo.
There you go.
Awesome.
No, and that's the that's two of the 800s.
Yep.
And just, I mean, the sound, and it gets that growl. One of the things, I was a big Stephen Stills fan, and it gets, I love that. It gets that.
And then you can play just soft finger style.
Yeah. Delicate. I mean, it has a lot of response. You can do a lot of things. And you're hearing it now. I mean, you can hear it. We're using just simple mics here, but it's recordable. That's very important. Yep. So the beginning, even if you're a beginning musician, you got a guitar that's going to sound good on your little demos that you're doing. It's just, you know, I mean, that's rich.
Now, a couple of more things about the FG and FS series. What we did this year is we added a guitar to the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually go out into your stores now and find an FG or an FS 850, which is going to be laminate mahogany back and sides and a solid mahogany top. And that guitar sounds absolutely vintage and fantastic. It was a great, great choice to do. And the other thing about this series, we didn't raise the prices. So actually, the price
is $200 too.
That guitar is actually $399. But if you look at the entire line across the FG lineup, all the prices stayed the same. In fact, one guitar went down $20.
Mm-hmm.
So we made these improvements with the scallop bracing, the slimmer neck, the rounded fret edges, the slimmer design with the FS model, but kept the price point and kept the value the same for the customer.
Right. Well, yeah, that makes sense with the Yamaha with the mahogany bodies. Yeah, you're paying for the wood. But it's interesting, too, that Yamaha, very early on in the 70s, they were the first guys I ever knew that used NATO. And they were really into that. And that was, it sounded great. I mean, even, I remember seeing the catalogs, you know, going to NAMM as a kid, because I used to go when I was younger. And we would see the catalogs, and it said, you know, I played a lot of the classicals.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was in school, I was studying. So I always checked them out too, and they played nice and they were reasonable. But they were using the NATO wood to keep the cost down, and they played really, really good. One thing I can say about Yamaha in general, in my years of playing different guitars and trying different things, is they've always had a consistency to them that was, you knew what it could do, whether it was buying a bass or one of their electric guitars, like you had here with the Rev Stars, mm-hmm. and the Pacificas on the electric end, but all the acoustic guitars, whether it was classical or steel string, it was always a consistency. You knew what you were getting there.
And I think what you could do is you'd almost look at the sale price or the street price of any Yamaha instrument and add about $200 to it. And you get relative value of the guitar. You should be paying a lot more for the guitar that you're getting, but we make them so well, and we make quite a few of them, is that we can actually keep that price in check.
Yeah. Well, these 800s are amazing for $200. I have to go out and take a look. I'm tempted. I'm just really tempted. But
yeah, one thing we do recommend if you have a 700 or if you see a 700 is to literally take them side by side. And we've done it numerous times just recently with some training that we did. And one thing you will find, it's pretty dramatic. You know, just changing that bracing really helps the top vibrate more,
mm-hmm.
Give you a little bit more projection. And especially as you were hearing, the tonality is really rich. And, you know, it's unlike anything I ever had as when I grew up. You know, anything now, I bought was terrible.
Can you order these guitars with pickups in them? Do they come electric?
We have a series called FSX and FGX, X being your electronics designate, that will get you these same models, most of the same models, and some cool colors. But already wired with electronics. Yes.
With electronics.
Yeah.
So they would have, because I would think some of the people would be interested in that to be able to play it live.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, what else? You got something else over here.
Well, we brought something that's not quite available to the public yet. You can see it online. You can see it on usa.yamaha.com website. And this is the brand new LLTA transacoustic guitar. our friends in the piano division have more fun than we do in guitar. No, that's not true. What they've done is in the piano division is they have a technology called transacoustic. There's actually a transacoustic piano. To work, we can get natural effects out of the guitar or out of the piano without any external effects devices or without an external box being mounted to your guitar. So what we've done is we've taken an LL16 all solid wood guitar. Mm-hmm. This is an Engelmann spruce top. This is the ARE treated top, right? So we're going to give you that. We're going to make that wood sing a little bit more for you. This is solid rosewood back and sides. This is an ebony fingerboard. This is a mahogany and rosewood five-ply neck. So you never have a neck twist with an LL series instrument. But what we've done is we've actually put some magic on the inside of the guitar that's actually going to get us natural room reverb and natural chorus out of the instrument, plugged or unplugged. So right now, I've got it straight into the board here. No effects.
And that's a piezo, right? A piezo pickup.
Good sounding guitar, right? This is actually just a superior sounding guitar with this extra magic in it. Because I can now do...
That's coming from the guitar. That's not from the board.
So my reverb knob will give me a room reverb... or a hall reverb. My other knob here will give me chorus from light. To very rich chorus. Now, as you'll see in the pictures, when Jeff posts them on the website, we are plugged directly into their mixing board. I'm doing nothing. We're not going through any external processing. There's no external effects on the board itself. All you're hearing is what naturally is coming out of this guitar. So if this guitar was unplugged, you would hear the very, very same thing. So I can get natural room reverb and chorus out of the instrument unplugged. When I plug a cable in, I can get the same effects coming down the cable to feed the mixing board.
Right. So go ahead and take off the direct. And now let's put the mic on and start with the reverb.
Okay.
Yeah, put both mics on so you get a stereo.
There's reverb for hall or for room.
That's coming from the guitar. That's...
And then here's your chorus. So it's pretty special to kind of sit and hold this thing and play it, because it's not natural to have reverb coming out of the instrument. So the first time we all kind of played it, we all looked at each other. It was like, what am I really hearing what I think that I'm hearing?
Where's the speaker?
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what we were looking for, is where's the sound coming out of? And we'll get into a little bit of that in a minute. Our friends at Yamaha Europe did the very best promo video for this. And what it is, it's a black and white video with no audio. And it's pictures and video of people playing the guitar for the first time and the expression on their face. And it's that thing as if you have this dumbfounded look on your face about, why does this guitar sound the way that it does? And it's the magic that we put inside of it. Mm-hmm. So what we have inside of this guitar is actually a small little actuator, okay? And what that actuator does, it feeds against the back of the instrument. So it kind of blows this natural reverb sound into the back of the guitar. So now the back of the instrument becomes a little amplifier on its own, right? So it's the same principle as our piano friends do, is there's an actuator in the transacoustic piano that gets you this natural chorus and reverb sound. So we just kind of shrunk that down and decided to stick it into probably one of our best acoustic guitars.
So it's vibrating the back to get the...
Yeah, so if you can kind of look down in there a little bit. You'll see an actuator kind of towards the back quarter panel, kind of in here.
Let me see if I can grab it.
And then what there is there's a little bit of software and digital magic in there to where I get three little controls on the face of the guitar, on the side panel of the guitar. There is no big preamp cut out of the side of your instrument, so it's very minimally invasive as far as how they put
the knobs. Yeah, there's just three little knobs on there.
Just three little knobs. So what that does is that it actuates the software on the inside and tells that actuator how much reverb or chorus to put into the tone.
So you have one knob that gives you the room or the hall.
Yeah, so the knob that's closest to me, closest to the back of the guitar, is my reverb knob. So from 0 to 12, I'm going to get a nice room reverb, graduated room reverb, up to that 12 o'clock setting. From 12 o'clock back to 6 o'clock, I get a hall reverb, as you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big darn hall. But it's so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
The knob in the middle is my master volume, output volume of down the cable, and my master on-off, right? And then the far button, the one that's closest to the top of the guitar, is my chorus control from like 0 to 10.
Okay, so you can blend by turning either the reverb. When you have the reverb at 12, is it 0 hall and then it starts going to 6, you get more hall? Okay, it's still the...
And there's my hall side.
Okay, so it goes it at 12. It changes into
it changes to a whole different reverb setting, and then you get graduated from that 12 o'clock back to that 6 o'clock setting.
Okay, so but the master volume is just the straight output
of the pickup. Yeah,
okay. That's pretty cool, and it's just three little knobs on the side of the guitar. That's not really terribly. It's not invasive at all. You barely notice it. Let me try it. Okay, let me put it. I'm moving here with this cable. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm going to take the chorus off real quick, and I'm going to put some reverb here. Just by itself.
Yeah, that's kind of a little bit of the marketing of it. It's like we just took the best guitar we had and added this magic into it.
That's a nice subtle chorus. I'm using it on nothing. You can do a lot of different things with it. I just love it. Just even the guitar by itself, the overtones again, and it's rich enough.
Yep.
Let me do this. it still has that depth, and it's not, you know, sometimes more with flangers you lose the bottom end. Mm-hmm. It's still there. So I presume you're still putting dry signal in with it.
The one thing that we're trying to determine is, like, we do a lot of work at Yamaha about marketing. Who are we selling this to? Who are we talking to with this guitar? And we originally thought maybe it would be the coffee shop guy or the singer-songwriter guy that's going out to and doesn't necessarily want to take pedals with him or doesn't necessarily have the access to effects on an amplifier. But what we're determining is we think this might be the couch guy's guitar. How cool would it be just to sit on the couch watching television and have natural chorus and reverb on your guitar unplugged?
Yeah. And people, you know, students, you know, it's nice at a party to have reverb. I'm talking about when I had this guitar, I would have loved to have that at the beach. Can you imagine playing at the beach and you have reverb and chorus?
I'll just say one quick thing. When I first played it, it reminds me of something I used to do when I lived at my parents' house. I had an acoustic, and I used to, hopefully it's not a TMI moment, I would just walk into the bathroom because of the environment. And I would just sit near the tub, and I would just play. And parents were always like, why are you in there? I'm like, because you're getting this really great ambience. And so when I first heard that, I thought, how cool would this be just to, like Andy was saying, be able to sit anywhere, whether it be on your couch, whether it be, you know, outside on the porch or something like that, and still be able to kind of have it transport you somewhere else, right? And it just really is an inspiring sound. And, you know, I think the way that they voiced, you know, the circuitry is very musical, so it's a very special instrument.
Now, how many different models are coming with this? Or?
Right now, this is in two different model guitars. We're taking orders on this for late September, October delivery. There's the LLTA, which you have in your hands right now, which is going to be more of our traditional or original Yamaha jumbo sort of body shape. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the LSTA, which is maybe more similar to our FS body shape, more of a concert style, a little pinched off at the hip, right at that, you know, near, a little narrower part of the waist right there. So two models right now, shipping end of September, early October, and we think this is really going to do us well.
What's the MSRP of these?
I want to say that the list price is 15 or so, or 14, and then selling for $999 is your street price on it.
Yeah, it's just to clarify, it's $1,600 MSRP and $999.99 for MAP. So that's what you're going to see in the stores for. But yeah, it's we're looking forward.
Well, I mean, it's understandable with the solid rosewood. I mean, you're using high quality woods. I'm just curious if you're going to put this technology into the other.
We can't neither confirm nor deny that anything like that will ever happen.
One thing that we always talked about before this even, you know, before we took it to NAMM was, first and foremost, it's a really wonderful L-Series guitar, because that's really what it is. They just decided...
I love these guitars. They're just great.
It was just the idea to really kind of introduce the technology within, you know, some of our best-made guitars as well. So.
Hear the quality of it. And this one's got the AR.
That has it's Engelmann spruce on the top, and it does have the ARE treatment.
Right. And the overtones, I can't, you know, as a recording, in recording, this is so rich. I mean, that's to die for.
And just one really quick thing, of the three knobs, the middle knob, which is the master, you know,
volume,
it's the line out. So a lot of people, when they try it for the first time, they'll actually kind of work that knob as if it's going to change something when you're sitting there acoustically.
No, it's right. Not affecting the...
Correct. I just wanted to clarify that because I think...
Oh, that's good to know.
That,
yeah. Because I'm hearing right now the reverb is coming from here, and I'm not using the direct.
Right.
Now, let's try. Go ahead and plug it. Give me the line and bring it. Well, I can adjust it here. And I'm going to adjust it to try to get a nice blend.
Thank you.
nice blend of the two. So if you're miking for recording, you can use both. And then I'll try it. I'll chorus it. It's kind of interesting with the two inputs. It's kind of swishing the chorus around. And then I'll give a little more. Just so sparkly. That is an amazing, amazing sound. That just, and then you hear for. I'm in love with it. I'm not giving it back. I'm sorry. I'm keeping it.
No. You know, we've had quite a few reviews that are being done about this guitar in particular. And what's really interesting is that a lot of tech companies have taken an interest in this guitar. And one USA Today, actually, the reviewer that reviewed it recently, didn't want to give it back, and he ended up purchasing the instrument. That's how much he loved it. And he, I think it was his first Yamaha guitar, which is really interesting. But you'll be seeing a lot more reviews coming out on this particular model guitar. We can't seem to keep one around the office. We actually had to go to our Yamaha services in Burbank to pick this one up in order for tonight's show. So it's going back tomorrow. But yeah, there's a lot of interest in them, and we're very excited about it. So.
Well, it also too, I mean, the obvious thing when you came out with the L series anyway, it was a purist thing. They wanted build the best acoustic guitar, and no electronics, is just built nice. But the obvious thing is, a working and gigging musician, it's like you got to put a pickup in there. And this is the perfect thing, the perfect extension of that, or evolution of it. Because for an electric, I mean, it makes sense, total sense in it. It's totally workable in a lot of different situations. So I think it's really incredible. So anyway, we're almost out of time. What I want to do is real quick is give more information where people can check out all this stuff. And either one.
Yeah, so everything that we've talked about today and the guitars we've played on Jeff's show today, you can actually find information at usa.yamaha.com. It's a pretty robust website, but you can actually find the products page. Pull that down, and you'll see guitar and basses there, and then you'll see the full lineup of Yamaha instruments. And then yamahaguitars.com as well.
It's yamahaguitars.com. It's not us.yamaha. I always got confused.
The yamahaguitars.com will take you directly to the guitar page.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of a secret way in there because, as Andy was saying, it's quite a large site. So,
well, I want to thank you guys both for coming on the show and showing us these great guitars.
Oh, anytime, Jeff. That's our pleasure.
And, well, definitely, there's much more to do. You guys are doing so much stuff. One of these days, I'll have to have you drag in one of those transacoustic pianos. I just want to hear what that sounds. But anyway, what I'm going to do, we're going to just kind of jam out, and I'm going to use the 800.
The FG-800.
And I'm going to finger pick, and you're going to use...
I'll use the LLTA transacoustic.
So we're using... So I'm playing a $200 guitar, and I'm loving it. So, so anyway, thank you guys again so much. And people, I can't say enough about Yamaha guitars. They're beautiful instruments, and they're reasonable. And as a working musician, there's always room for another guitar. You always need another one. For the money, these things are just amazing.
You know what my favorite guitar is, Jeff? The next one.
That's so true. That's so true.
And especially the next Yamaha.
Yeah. No, I love this. These guitars are great. So I just need a transacoustic pickup in here, and then I'll be fine. I'm a poor boy. I like the... Yeah. But I love this. I mean... I took some pictures of this the L series guitar. The rosewood is just beautiful. I mean, this guitar is a beautiful guitar. The woods, I'm a sucker for great wood, and it's just amazing.
And that is a prime example of what we were talking about. The abalone, the ebony, right? So these little upgrades of course, in the materials and the technology, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Workmanship, craftsmanship.
The money, the expense of the guitar, it's right. obvious that you're it's put into the guitar. It's just not overpriced. It's basically... Right. Rosewood's not cheap. Ebony's not cheap. You know, that type of craftsmanship, it's just, you know, you get what you pay for. Though I have to admit, I'm getting a lot for $200 here. Okay, everybody, have a great week. We're going to go ahead and just jam out, and you can just listen to these guitars. They're just really, really beautiful. Thank you, Ronan, for being at the board, and we will see you next week. So here we go.